On the back of your bulletin, you have a place for notes, if you like to take notes. This one's going to be called, We All Needed a Resurrection. Everybody needs a resurrection. Mark 16:1. We're going to do something different this morning. I know there's a big crowd here, and I know it's inconvenient, but let's all stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. It'll give an opportunity for you to stand up. If you can't stand, that's okay, I understand. But if you're physically able, just stand for a moment. We're going to read God's Word. Starting Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, and they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, but he is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. Therefore shall you see him, and he said unto you, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray for the Holy Spirit of God to have its way this morning. Whatever people stand in need of this morning, I pray that you'd meet that need. We're just in awe this morning that we serve a risen Savior. A lot of people worship a lot of things, but you can't worship something that's dead. Lord, we worship a God that is risen, who came and died for our sins, that we might have eternal salvation through Him. And He paid the full debt on the day of the resurrection. The gift was paid for. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I usually don't ask people to be standing, but that's one of the best lines of Scripture you'll ever read. Amen. I want to talk about this Sabbath day. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. There was a Sabbath prior to Jesus being resurrected. Did you know that? So in Jewish time, there was a Sabbath. That was the Saturday. But I just want to say this. They had a religious meeting, even though they had crucified and buried Jesus. There's a lot of churches having a lot of services without Jesus. They're useless. That's got to be the worst Sabbath of all time. That had to be the worst sanctuary meeting of all time. All these people got together and worshiped, and just the day before, they had got together and said, Crucify, crucify, crucify. And Jesus was in the tomb, and they're having church. Let me tell you something, friend. You can't have church without Jesus. You can't have salvation without Jesus. You can't have a life without Jesus. Amen. You better understand that. I can just imagine them going through the ceremony and worshiping God and killing Jesus. Can I say this and just not be real, just be blunt with you? Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're here worshiping a God that you don't have. That's the saddest kind of worship there is. Some of you are wondering why people are tore out of the frame this morning, raising their hands, worshiping, weeping. They're weeping because guess what? They have Christ on the inside. Amen. And I mean, he can't help himself. The Holy Spirit, when God comes in and you worship Him, when God's lifted up and glorified, the Holy Spirit inside you wells up and says, I got to do something. Amen. Now some of y'all worship different. Some of you shout. Some of you praise, some of you are hyperverbal, some of you are quiet, some of you are weepers, some of you are sitting there inside yourself, some of you are rugged men. Glory, glory. Some of you are rugged men and you won't show. You're in the institution, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hey, God hears it all. Amen? God hears it all. Amen? If your heart's crying out to Him, He hears it. Amen? You don't have to be a shouter. You don't have to be that. God knows you. If you're one of them hyperverbal, He knows you. Praise God. But He knows your heart. I know plenty of people that can say, but there's not a whole lot of people walk it out. But you better have it right in your heart. Amen? If you're here this morning, we're not having a special service. We have a service like this every Sunday. And a lot of times on Wednesday, because we have Jesus. And we worship Him here every single time. Sunday, I got up this morning and said, man, I'm going to get my special suit. I don't have one. I did have a nice special purple shirt, though. Amen. But I thought about that morning. They had service without Jesus. Sad. But then the next morning, I thought about this. Have you ever felt like, don't be honest, don't raise your hand, but have you ever felt like maybe sometimes that Jesus, you just can't feel Him, you can't see Him, sometimes in life you get to a low point that you can't see Him or you can't feel Him, and maybe the devil crawls in on your shoulder and asks you to doubt. Now I know there's some of you in here, you're just so spiritual, like, no, I don't ever have those moments. Praise God, I love you. Amen. Amen. But there's some of you that goes through some times in your life. And I've been through those times in my life. That I'm sitting there going, God, where are you? You're not doing miracles. You're not doing backflips in my life right now. You're not showing me signs and wonders. God, I'm just walking by faith. Hey, man, I'm just walking it out by faith. God, I just trust you. I know when I can't see the blood, I know the blood's seen by you. Hey, man, you got to think about that. If you go all the way back to the first Passover, and they put that blood upon the doors, amen. I don't know what the weather was like outside, but I wonder, like that old song used to say, is the blood still there? I wonder if there was any kids in the house that said, hey, it's storming or it's windy. I said, is the blood still out there on them doorposts, Daddy? Don't worry, the blood's been applied. And the only one that really has to see it is God, amen? Amen. Man, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you. When you go through a valley in life, sometimes you got to rely that God's watching your life and you don't know what He's doing, but you know God's in it. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's why I'm... Let me get back to the story. I want y'all to get this. That morning, God, I wish y'all could get a hold of this right here. Mary Magdalene, Salome, and the mother of James got up and Jesus was crucified the last time they seen Him. No, I don't want you to get into... I want you to hear this. They got up that Sunday morning, first day of the week. They got up before the sunrise and they were going to go worship a Jesus that they thought was dead. A man who had walked, a God-man who had walked into their lives 3 years prior to this and changed everything, and He was dead. And I guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt, they did not have a clue what was going on. Matter of fact, I can tell you they didn't. It says they didn't. They didn't know what was going on. They thought they were going. They had brought spices and oil. They were going to worship a dead Jesus. I want to tell you something, friend. Some of y'all might not like this. I don't know, but I'm just going to be honest with you. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, everything He's done in my life up to this point's worth it. I'll let that sink in. You can let it sink into your heart. What do you mean? You don't believe in Jesus resurrecting? Absolutely. You don't believe in eternal life? Absolutely. You don't believe in heaven? Absolutely. But let me be honest with you. There's a woman right here called Mary Magdalene who had seven devils in her. When Jesus met her, she had seven devils. The number of seven is the number of completion. And that had taken her life completely over. And one day Jesus came up to her and said, hey sis, they got to go. Because I'm moving in. And for the next, I don't know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, Mary Magdalene walked with Jesus, and guess what did not reside inside of her? Any devils. Now, I wish, some of y'all, we haven't church, but let me preach to y'all back here. They so spiritual up there, you can't hardly touch them. Amen? So I need to get a hold of some of you back here. Listen, when they came, listen, they got up that morning and Mary Magdalene says, I don't know why he's dead. I don't know why he died on a cross. But I know one thing. I don't have seven devils in me anymore. I'll say it like this to you. I don't look at pornography anymore. I don't do drugs anymore. I don't lie anymore. I don't steal anymore. I've got peace. I've got joy. I've got happiness. I've got things in my life that I never knew were possible. Amen. It would be all right every once in a while to let an amen loose. Don't be scared, amen? But all those things were gone. And you know what? One day when she didn't understand what God was doing, and then she didn't understand why God was taking from her. It was a good thing, but she didn't understand it. Praise God, she's sitting there, and you know what she said? On the first day she had the opportunity, she could have stayed at home. She could have done everything everybody else was doing. She could have had a pity party. She could have said, you know what? I don't know what I'll do today since Jesus is dead. You know what she said? Because he cast the devils out of my life, I'll go worship him even if he's dead. I'm going to be honest with you. If God don't do another thing in my life, and I'm absolutely positive that he is, praise God, he's done enough now that I could praise him on into eternity and I'd be fine with it. Amen? If he don't do nothing else, he's all right with me. Amen? There was a day, August 28th, amen, when Jesus came into my life. There was a switch. There was a change. And everything he's done up to from that day to this day is worth everything he's got. Amen. But somebody, look at your neighbor and just say, it's better than that. I know we don't do that here. Whoops. Look at your neighbor and say, he's better than that. He's way much better than that. Amen. Can you see him early in the morning? Getting up, getting our stuff. I'm a Mary Magdalene type. See, the devil used to run my life, but now God runs it. And sometimes I get so excited, I don't know what to do. Amen. But see, they couldn't go out on the Sabbath because you would be against the law because you would be working on the law. You had to rest. But listen to this. When the sun was rising, Mary Magdalene's like, hey, 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 you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, let's go. I got my spices and my anointing. I know that Nicodemus prepared the body and wrapped it up. Them two guys, amen. Joseph of Arimathea. Come on, women, help me out. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went down there and prepared the body for the burial. But I know dudes, they ain't going to do a great job. We're going to go down there and we're going to clean up the mess. Golly, you better shout, men. They probably left some stuff. Amen. They probably did. They probably tried to do a job. I'll preach right there for a minute, too. I'm just glad two men decided to do anything for Jesus. Hallelujah. That'll preach for a minute. Amen. All the women started, hallelujah, praise God. Hey, men, women's doing this a long time at home. They don't care if you do it all. Just do something. Amen? Jesus is screaming into the church of the New Testament, men, you ain't got to do it all. Just do something. Amen. We like this church here at Flat Top because we're a man church and a woman church. We're a family church. We're a young church. We're an old church. And we're an everything in between church. Amen? If you ain't got a church, come be with us. We'll church you. Amen? Two men took the body down there and just wrapped it up and prepared it. And then women's like, no, no, no. No, 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 no. We'll go down there and we'll make this right. We'll worship Jesus and we'll do it right. And their women are spiritual, amen. They were going to go down there and they were going to weep. And they were going to cry over Jesus. And they were going to let him know everything you've done up to this point is okay with me, Lord. Well, we don't understand why you had to be brutally killed, and we don't know. We thought you had power over life and death, and we heard you say, I am the resurrection, but right now we're kind of doubting. We don't know what to do. Have you ever not understand why God is doing some stuff in your life, but you do it anyway? I'll put it this way. They were headed down to the tomb with their spices and their anointing oils and all that they were going to do to prepare the body, but then they didn't even have a plan. How are we going to get the tomb rolled away? Who's going to roll the rock away for us? Have you ever been on your way to do something for God and you don't even know how you're going to get it done, but you're going anyway? Somebody asked me, Kevin, you say you're going for God. I am. How are you going to do it? I don't know. God kind of works that way. He says go, and he fills you in on the way or when you get there. It's scary. It's scary. But man, when he does it, it's good. You know what you got to do when he does it? You got to do it, but you got to say this at the end. I didn't do it. I can't take no credit for it. I didn't do it. He did it. He sent me down here. I didn't even know how he was going to do it. They got down to the tomb, and the tomb was already rolled away. Some of you are making excuses. I'll serve God when, and I'll serve God this, and I'll serve God when it's perfect. Why don't you just go ahead and serve him and wait and see when you get down there, it'll already be made for you. Oh, I've got, all kinds of people give me excuses all the time. When I do this, I'm going to serve God. And when I get this, I'm going to get this and serve God. Listen, you start serving God and God will take. He is a provider. God can take care of everything. Every obstacle you got, every excuse you got, every reason you got, God is God. Amen? Just let Him have everything. Amen? They started walking down there and they're like, where are we getting down there? The tomb was rolled away. Then they went in. Amen? And they didn't find what they were. They were looking for a dead Jesus. And they didn't find Him. There's a living one. Amen? Do y'all love the Bible like I do? Here's this guy. He's in all white. And he's sitting on the thing like it's just his job just to sit there. It's an angel. And they walk in and they're like, where's Jesus? He's like, He's not here. Amen? He was crucified. Amen? Y'all need to write that down. He was crucified. Some of y'all still got Jesus on the cross. He's no longer there. The cross is the pinnacle of our salvation. Without it, we have nothing. It is the sacrifice for all the sins of the world, but He's no longer on the cross. That cross is empty. Amen? Thank God. Because the whole price had to be paid on Resurrection Day. See, the Bible refers to salvation as a gift all the way through. It's a gift. You can't earn a gift. You get a gift freely. It's a gift every single time. You find it anywhere in the Bible where it says you earn it or it's a reward, you come show it to me. Amen? Because it's not there. It's a gift. But a gift has to be paid for by someone. Oh, glory, glory. But we didn't have to pay for it. He paid it all. He paid it all. The day He was resurrected, He said, paid in full. Amen. I'll get to that in a little bit, but I want y'all to see this. Stop making excuses. Stop making reasons why you don't give your whole service to God, your whole life to God, for whatever He wants from you. And don't be afraid to go into some places that you're afraid of. Amen. I hear people all the time say stuff like this. I'm afraid God might send my son to Africa or my daughter to Africa or me to Africa. If God ever puts something on your heart and it's a burden for those people, let me tell you something. You won't be happy anywhere else but that place. You'll try to be comfortable in your couch or your home or your chair or your man cave or your car or whatever it is, but you won't be happy until you're doing what God wants you to do. Oh, no. That's true. I don't know if you like it or not, but it's true. And entering the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting in the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. Listen, God does some cool stuff, and He'll scare you sometimes. He will, amen? If God don't ever scare you every once in a while, man, there's something wrong with you because he's God. And He works on a different level. You ever read a story about a man named Balaam? Balaam was hired to curse God's people. Amen? He was, and he was taken three times in three different locations to curse God's people. One time where he could see them all, then certain two other times where he could just see portions of them or maybe in their weak sides. Never mind. But there's a part of the story in there. You know what it is? God opened the mouth of the donkey that he was riding. Man, that's the coolest story of the Bible. Amen? Because Balaam had this donkey that had been his possession his whole life, and he was trying to go do something that God told him not to do, and all of a sudden, he starts bucking and turning and rubbing and scraping, and next thing you know, he just sits down on him. And Balaam starts to whoop his donkey. God, now ain't listen to me for a man on the moon. James, he's whipping that donkey and he looks at him and goes, what's wrong with you? And the donkey looks at him and says, have I ever messed with you before? I've been obedient my whole life to you. He goes, can't you see that God's against you? Not one time during that story does Balaam go, oh my gosh, my donkey's talking. I got Shrek before Shrek comes out. You know what God was showing him? Everything you got, everything you have, it belongs to me and it's controlled by me. It's operated by me. If you want anything, it's mine. Amen. I give it to you and I take it away. Don't worship the stuff. Don't follow the stuff. Don't try to go after the stuff. Go after me and everything that's supposed to be in your life will go into your life. I love that where he's cursing them in three different places. That's how the devil does. He sees us walking through this world as children of God, and he tries to get people to curse us from different areas of our life. But if God's for you and you're walking in his direction and following him, they can't curse you. They got to bless you. Never mind that. You get that later. Amen. That's bonus preaching. That didn't cost you anything. Amen. I like this. He was crucified, but he is risen. Everything about Jesus is it's now. Amen. It's in the present tense. He is risen. Amen. How awesome is that? Y'all excited about he is risen? Yeah. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. He said, "Look, he's not here." You can go to every false god's tomb, and they're still there. You can go to Jesus' tomb and he's not there. Matter of fact, in Israel, they say there's two locations because there's a debate where he was buried. Why? Because he's resurrected. Never mind. Hard to figure out where the body is. Amen? That's so good. Amen. Y'all ready? Check this out. Verse 8. And when they had went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled. Yeah, I want to make sure we're right in the right place. For they trembled and were amazed, neither they anything to him, to a man, they were, and they for they were afraid. Let's see where it says. Oh, run back up to 7. I knew I was missing something. Go back to verse 7. But go your way. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. That's important. Underline that part where it says he told the disciples and Peter. And Peter. That's important. Why? Let me tell you a story. There was this rotten kid. He was probably about 21 years old. And he was a liar and a thief. Amen? Amen? Liar, big thief. Amen? And sometimes he would try to take from his parents by lying to them and manipulating facts and stories. Never mind, y'all probably never heard anything like that. But he would manipulate stories and tell lies and try to get money from his parents. He was a no good guy. Listen, every once in a while, this one time he called his dad and said, "Dad, can I get a couple $100? And they gave him some kind of story. It was a manipulated story. It was a lie. It had some truth in it, just enough to put a hook on it. God, if y'all don't start saying amen or something, I don't think I'm talking to the right crowd. Maybe I need to find somebody that knows what I'm talking about. But, he told this story. I almost said, he got his uncle to give him the money. Amen. And his uncle, he said, "Don't worry, I'll pay you back." And he didn't. But during this time that he took the money and didn't pay it back, there was a grandparent who died, grandmother. Amen. And they were having a funeral, and see the rotten boy who loved his grandmother and loved his dad and loved his uncle, but was a liar and a manipulator and a thief, didn't want to go nowhere near the funeral or the visitation because guess what? He had taken money. Have you ever done something real stupid and it cost you, you can't be around people because you've lied, cheated, or manipulated? Wrong. I'm talking to some real people, all right? Let's just dig in right here. And you can't go around them. Amen. And you know what I thought? I thought, well, you know what? This little young man, he didn't want to be around his family. But his cousin came to him and said, "You know Granny died, right?" And the young man was like, "Yeah, I know. I know Granny died. I know it. I'm not going." "Well, I want to tell you this. Your dad told me to tell you." "What did my dad say?" "Him and your uncle both said, the debt has been paid in full. Come see your grandmother. You're welcome. There won't be nothing said about the debt. It's been paid in full. You don't have to worry about it. Just come on anyway, because you're wanted. You're a part of the family." I want y'all to hear this. I want y'all to dig into this. See, the last time Peter had seen Jesus, he had denied him and said, "I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him." So what Jesus was doing right here, he was letting Peter know through the resurrection. See, Peter needed a resurrection. Amen. He needed Jesus to be resurrected where he could be restored. Some of y'all need to know that Jesus has been resurrected where your life can be restored. Because the last thing you did was failing Jesus. If you'll turn into the resurrection, he's already forgiven you of that thing you've done. Amen. Go tell the disciples You know, I guarantee they were all hooked up somewhere and they're all together. He said, go, hey, Mark, James, hey, Jesus, I want you to come on. And Peter's like, no, I ain't going. I know what I did. He heard me. As soon as I said it that last time, he looked across the room and looked right at me. He knows I've betrayed him. Oh, he said, and Peter specifically, he needs you to be there. You mean he said my name? He said your name specifically. Because you think you've done worse than everybody else. Hey, some people in here, you think you've done worse than everybody else. Well, Jesus is saying, and you come. And you come. And you come. And you come. And God, boy, that's good for me. I don't know about you, but I needed that. I needed somebody to say, hey, I need all my sons, and I need all my grandsons, and I need all my cousins. Hey, and Kevin, tell him to come. I don't know if you've ever been called out by Jesus, but you are this morning, friend. If your life's upside down and the devil's just raking you over and he's telling you're no good, you know what? God's whispering out of heaven this morning saying, he's saying your name, and you come. Amen, and you. In verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Verse 9, and when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he had appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. This is one of the coolest things in the Bible. He appears to one woman first, out of all the people he could appear to. And there's one recipe for it. One recipe. I'd like to tell you there's a different one, but there's not. Mary Magdalene had nowhere else to go. Mary Magdalene had seven devils in her when Jesus met her. That's what it said, seven devils. And guess what? When Jesus came into her life, they all fled. See, in this morning, you can read in Matthew and in Luke, they came to the tomb. And they ran to the tomb and went in, Peter and John. When they seen it. But John's really cool in his gospel. He says, and the one whom Jesus loved outran Peter. Never mind this. John's cool. When he's going to put something in the Bible, he's going to make sure he's faster than Peter was, right? He's also a lot younger, so it doesn't matter. Amen? Oh, anyway. But they went and then they left. They came in, they seen the body, and he surely has risen, and they left, and everybody else left. But there's somebody who didn't leave. Mary Magdalene didn't leave. Mary Magdalene stayed. She's my favorite character in the Bible in the New Testament. She's my favorite character in the New Testament. You know why? Because she's like a pit bull and a pork chop. Everybody else left. She's seven devil Mary. All the other Marys, Peter, James, John, they've got somewhere to go. They've got family, they got houses, they got fishing business, they got whatever. They can go somewhere else, they can think about something else, they go to another house. Mary Magdalene said, I got down here before sunrise and I got nowhere else to go. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to be satisfied until I see Jesus. I've seen some angels. I've seen some apostles. I've seen some amazing things. It looks like Jesus is gone. It looks like he's risen, but I'm not leaving. I wish we had more Christians like Mary Magdalene, because you know what she says? I'm not going anywhere and I'm not doing anything unless I have Jesus. See, some of y'all be satisfied with church. Some of y'all be satisfied with different kinds of things associated with the church. I want to be satisfied only when Jesus is in it. We can have all the other stuff if Jesus is in it. If Jesus is in it, we can have it. Amen? But if we don't have Jesus, we don't got nothing. Mary Magdalene said, where else can I go? Where can I go? She hee-hawed around there for a little bit. This is one of the coolest parts of the Bible. And she looks into the tomb and there was two angels who showed up. And she looks at them and notices one thing. They're not Jesus. So she turns her back on them. Amen? Some of us, we'd just love to see. Let me see an angel. I'd like to see two. That'd be cool. We'd spend most of our time just watching them and paying attention with them. She says, you're awesome. And I know you're messengers. Amen? And I know he's alive. That's what y'all keep saying. And I know you're messengers from God. But listen, I had seven devils in me, and a couple, 3 years ago, Jesus came and he took them out, and I'm not going to be satisfied until I see him. Can you tell me what you've done with him? And they're like, Mary, can you just go on? You're slowing everything up, Mary. I mean, Jesus has to show himself to God, and it's got to, this thing, you know, he hasn't even finished the work yet. Can you chill out? I'm glad God doesn't care if you don't chill out. I think God dispatched those two angels on behalf of Jesus, but it didn't do the job. So then she's sitting there, and she's got her back turned, and Jesus, never mind, y'all got to get a hold of this. Jesus comes down there. Jesus comes down back to the garden, back to the tomb. He's like, what are you doing? Mary Magdalene sees him, and she thinks he's the gardener. I could shout and preach for another hour just right there alone. He is the gardener. He owns the farm. Amen? He's the husbandman who owns the farm. What do you mean the farm? The whole earth. He is a farmer. He is a gardener. He knew every plant, and I feel the Holy Spirit. He had a wildflower growing. He had to come down to see her. Y'all got to picture this. He's on his way to the throne. He's got to present what he did at Calvary and through the resurrection of Jesus to God, the Godhead. He's going and he's going to present himself and he's like, Mary won't let me go. I'll go down there and I'll take care of this. I got scripture to back it up. Some of y'all don't like, but it's true. He shows up. And she says, well, what have you done with him? And then she turns away from him, and he says her name, Mary. And she turns. She says a cool word. She says, Rabboni. Oh. This is a woman who had seven devils and couldn't hear nothing. See, when demonic presence comes into your family, your life, or yourself, it's real loud. Y'all better start saying amen, because I'll keep preaching if you don't. It gets real loud. It gets real confusing. And there's a lot of chaos. And there's a lot of noise. And there's a lot of words. And there's a lot of things. And there's a lot of abuse. And you know what? All of a sudden, Jesus comes in and calms the storm. And God, I know for a fact one day, I don't know if he got down on her level. I don't know if I don't know what he did, but he said, hey, Mary. And every devil in her said, you shut up. I'm speaking. Every one of you devils come out of her. You're vacated. This spot's no longer yours. Is there anybody in here that's got saved and the devil had to move out and God moved in? Said, you get out of here. And if he hasn't, you come up on this altar anytime and you just start screaming out to Jesus and he'll vacate the devil. Amen? He says, Mary, in the garden, again, Mary. She turns and says, Rabboni, which means master. She says, Master, it's about time. I've been waiting on you. I've been missing you. It's only been 3 days, but it's been the longest 3 days of my life. I thought you were dead, but I'll worship you anyway. I thought you were gone, but I loved you anyway. I didn't know that you was going to be resurrected, but now that you are, Master, I'm glad you're back. Amen. I'm glad you're back. Amen. He says, don't touch me. I've not ascended to the Father yet. But I love you. He goes, go tell the other ones. Go tell the rest of them you've seen me. And you can go and search it out. The dude's on the road to Damascus. Yeah, those dudes. They were walking with Jesus for about 7 miles. And they said, Jesus, why are you so slow of heart? He said, well, there was some women who went down to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, and said they seen Jesus, but we didn't believe her. You know what? You don't have to believe me. I don't have to believe you. But I know this one thing to be true. I've met him. He's alive. He's real. And it's true. And if you want him to be alive and real and true in your life, there's a quick walk to this altar. It's a simple, simple kind of prayer. God, I'm a sinner. God, my life is junk without you. Will you be the Lord of my life? I'll give you my life and let you run it from here on out. And you know what? He'll do a better job than you've ever thought about doing. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, don't even wait. You don't have to wait.